she's one of those guys that you that you know, since I was, I think, six, I was a big fan. He's one of those guys that
Betty loves that. Yeah, you bring that up.
He's one of those actors that you can't take your eyes off of, and I've always had nothing but respect for. And the first couple of weeks was very intimidating with him, because he's also, you know, he stands off a little bit. You know, it takes some time, but we got to the point where it was just, you know, when we first started doing it, you know, the way I work, there's not a whole lot of method involved in my madness, and I stand on the mark and go, well, what am I saying? All right, let's go. And Harvey started off, and he was very serious, you know, about the first week into it, you know, rolling speed, and I'm going, so anyway, so these three, and Harvey's like, hey, don't do that. Don't make the jokes. Once they say rolling, don't make the jokes, okay? I got to concentrate, okay? We got to concentrate. About 3 weeks into it, you know, he's like, okay, so these three fat kids come walking. Hang on a minute. And the game changed a little bit for all of us.
I can honestly say I've never seen Harvey quite the way he was on this set.
It was really fun.
He had as good a time on this. I think everyone had as good a time on this movie as they've ever had on any movie ever.
Yeah.
But it was a wild time for Harvey.
Yeah, he was hysterical.
Oh.
That's Keitel. Not Weinstein, by the way. Just
yeah.
Yeah, but
should be clear.
To be explicitly clear, was a 90s. We'd like to welcome to the show Marta McFly. Marta, welcome.
Ooh. Hi, it's so good to be here.
I'm a huge fan of your show. I don't like most shows, but your show is good.
Well,
and
thank you.
I feel like
you would know.
I feel like. This is how I feel like when you've had a pen pal for a long time and you finally meet them, it totally feels like that.
It's amazing.
Because KT, to your credit, called out immediately, hey. Why don't you tell in your own words, KT? Because I think this is if you can remember.
If we go down the etymology of the whole rabbit hole, you had gotten, your account had gotten put down on TikTok, and Harry Marks at Intro in the Lobbies was like, yo, everyone, check this out. And I had joined TikTok maybe a week before, so I was constantly just like, what, huh, who, okay, what? And so I started to follow your account and was like, this is really fucking good. And then I noticed you and Conan were either on the same Discord telling each other what to watch, or or it was some sort of Tootsie situation where I didn't understand that Conan was you. It was the same person. So I pointed you out to Conan and said, I think I met your lost sister from another mister. And sure enough, he agreed.
I think you were separated from birth. You're right.
Yes.
It's crazy. I've
the movie twins, yeah.
I've yet to meet somebody where our tastes are probably 98% of the time the same.
It's kind of uncanny. I have to say that, because I'm usually if I find someone that's 80% agreeing with me, I'm we're best friends for life. But I'm wow, it's wild how literally almost everything
99.99999999999%.
It's pretty strange.
It's pretty great.
In a good way.
Your podcast. And I'm obsessed with the podcast you guys have. So this is just beautiful and wonderful.
Yay.
It's a mutual admiration society.
Yes.
So then, of course, as we normally do, when there's people we like and we want to have them involved in the show. By the way, Harry Marks coming up next week for In a Lonely Place.
I know.
So. I'm very excited about that. I love In a Lonely Place. It's going
to
be awesome.
I knew that when I asked him to pick a Bogart film, he was going to pick the one that you were like, secretly, I hope this one. I don't know. It seems not like one everybody picks. And I was like, uh-huh. Harry, pick any one.
Yeah. And that's what he went to. It's like, yes. So we got Abigail, and then the best film noir that doesn't center a cop or detective. It centers a screenwriter.
Awesome.
Fantastic. That's what this show does. But yeah, as what normally happens when we find people that love film as much as we do and have an interesting take on it and we want to have on the show, we try to have them pick the movie first for them to come on for the first time, right? But sometimes choosing can be difficult, especially when you love many things. So in a wild change up of format, I decided, why not do it as a bracket? Which is what we're going to do. So we've got 16 different films here. And we're gonna introduce each one, talk like a little bit about, you know, we're gonna say like, you know, what year it came out, what the name is, the director. KT's gonna drop factoid or fact, depending on, you know, I don't know if there's a diminutive factoid. Is factoid a diminutive? Maybe. I don't know. About it. But most importantly, they're going to be two-round eliminations. So you are going to have to choose between two of them multiple times over. And here's what I would tell you, my friend. It will be painful.
Can I ask a question, Conan?
Sure.
I saw the bracket already, and I'm familiar with how brackets work, but I'm not sure if this mattered at all. Did you do a weight to because your bracket collapses, you've got your first seed against your 16 seed.
Yep.
Is your seeding weighted?
It's just random. Single elimination. Okay. There are numbers behind them, but I randomized it to make sure that it didn't end up just being like literally how I thought of them to put up there. And also there was some, there's two Bogdanovich movies on here. Somehow those end up being against each other's. And I was like, no, we can't have that. But ultimately it's a random chance. So the idea is that we're going to go through all of them. Everyone can chime and opine to a certain degree, but ultimately, Marta, it's going to be on you to make difficult decisions multiple times over in the most painful and entertaining, I hope, possible way.
My hands are so clammy already. I'm like, okay. What's happening?
Do you need like someone to bring you over, a water, some Gatorade, maybe?
Oh,
along those lines.
I'm ready.
We keep hydrated. Sure.
Yes,
sure.
Absolutely.
So without any further ado, well, a little bit of ado, let's not get ourselves. Let's go ahead and do the brackets. And what I'm going to do also is I'm going to put up a screenshot of the cover movie poster as well when they go up. So you can get like a little visual thing going on as well. So here we go. The brackets. So starting off, we have Todd Haynes with the movie Safe. This is a crazy movie poster, by the way. Like, yeah. I don't think it tells you anything you need to know about the movie.
Nope. I don't feel safe looking at that poster.
It's like, is this a horror movie? What's happening here? I'm not ready with my end of it. Shoot. Okay. But this is a 90s movie. This is actually the first Todd Haynes movie I saw, by the way. Fantastic film with featuring his long, long, long time collaboration, of course, with Julianne Moore. 1995. Carol White, a Los Angeles housewife in the late 1980s, comes out with a debilitating illness with no clear diagnosis. So there you go. That's Safe. Yeah. Cool. Got any facts for us on this one, KT?
It is Julianne Moore's first lead role in a film. Ooh. Wes Craven referred to it as the scariest film of that year. And when it came time for Julianne Moore to record the documentary, the commentary for it when it came to VHS, she had never seen it because it was too scary for her. So she had to watch it for the first time doing commentary while watching it.
Wow.
So the scary movie, guys.
Commentary is just,
Exactly. I would totally watch a commentary track of this movie without giving any spoilers away for those that haven't seen it. But it's a good one. All right. And then next up, little David Lynch for you, one of the few we actually haven't covered. Lost Highway, 1997, David Lynch.
Wink, nudge.
A tormented jazz musician finds himself lost in an enigmatic story involving murder, surveillance, gangsters, doppelgangers, and an impossible transformation inside a prison cell. That's a very...
It's Lost Highway.
Lost Highway.
Lost Highway.
I was driving and I got lost. That's how I came up with the name for this movie.
Can I tell you, Conan Factoid, it was in L.A. recently. I went by the Lost Highway house.
Nice.
You texted me this, I remember.
I texted you a picture of it.
And I That's screamed the previous way you could tell someone that.
She called it immediately in one. Yes. So, yeah. KT, you got anything for us on this film?
I would do it in my David Lynch voice, but it just kind of sounds like the lead singer of the B-52s. So it doesn't
matter. Yeah, I want to hear it.
If you want to, okay.
Lost Highway.
It's like, oh, Rock and Lobster.
Exactly.
Lynch said that the trial of O.J. Simpson was a major influence on his mind during the writing of this script, which deals with a man who was accused of killing his wife. Curiously, Robert Blake is cast as a major character in the film.
The guy who was accused of murdering his wife?
Yes.
Yeah?
Oh, my God.
Like a year before.
You are correct, man.
If the glove
he is
quit. You must quit.
Have you seen this one, Christina?
Yeah.
Yeah, Robert Blake is a very creepy part.
That's why I was like, what got me? I mean, that's the funny thing about it. I forgot about that.
Yeah, well, there you may remember. Depending on if it wins in this first round, Safe versus Lost Highway, Marta, please tell us which one will we be doing. Lost Highway or...
You know, I think I'm going to go with Lost Highway. Lost Highway. I have to.
All right, Lost Highway.
I agree with that choice, although I'd never heard of Safe, and now I feel like I really got to watch it.
Safe is great. It's like it's suffocatingly uncomfortable. Yeah. Like, it makes you want to itch at your skin.
Yeah. There we go. Lost Highway, everybody. Yay. Lost Highway.
We love to see it.
Scientists are shocked over what the pick was for the first.
Scientists shocked. Actually, the dumb ads aren't on in this view, so we'll just
yes.
Oh, perfect. Yeah.
We'll keep it. Keep it.
So there you go. All right, so exactly. Oh, you thought you were shocked before, huh? Well, okay. So next up, we have this is a weird double whammy, and somehow I don't have one. Yeah, you can tell this is randomized. Weird. I think to a certain degree,
it could
not
be like, more different.
Yeah, like
that's what I asked like, at the top.
Apples and cucumbers. Like what? What are we doing? Harakiri, 1962. How kitty? Exactly.
I love this film.
So Harakiri is the synopsis. A down on his luck veteran, Sugumi Hanshiro, enters the courtyard of the prosperous House of Ii. Unemployed with no family, he hopes to find a place to commit seppuku and a worthy second to deliver the coup de grace in his suicide ritual. The senior counsel for the Ii clan questions the Ronin's resolve and integrity, suspecting Hanshiro of seeking charity rather than honorable end. What follows is a pair of interlocking stories, which lay bare the difference between honor and respect, and promises to examine the legendary foundations of the Samurai Code.
That's what I always try to do. I try to find the balance between honor and respect, you know?
Exactly. We can tell. We can tell. Yeah. For sure. KT, what do you got for us on Harakiri?
Harakiri, which won a special jury award in the 1963 Cannes Film Festival, is notable because... I like to watch the lead actor look scared. They used real swords in this film. This practice was later prohibited in Japan in all their films, but you could kind of watch everybody be a little like, yeah.
Like, let's establish a standard here.
All right, I'm not really trying to commit harakiri. Back up.
Yeah.
Exactly. This is just a role. I'm not actually trying to do it. Another notable thing. In terms of notoriety, first of all, this is a 5-star movie for me. I think most of these are all like, I was looking, I'm like, wow, it turns out
five
I picked all movies
man.
I love.
Yeah. Did you just pick our favorite movies for all of these?
Look, I can neither confirm nor deny.
No.
But I wouldn't say that's exactly true. But it is in the official top 250 narrative feature films on Letterboxd in the number one position. Harakiri. So there you go. Take of that what you will.
It also comes from 1962, which three films are on here from that year. You guys really picked on 62.
Apparently, it's how it
went out.
What
a different time.
Not it was literally a different time. Next up, though, not 62. The Day Trippers.
Yay.
1996, Greg Mottola. Eliza D'Amico thinks her marriage to Lewis is going great until she finds a mysterious love note to her husband. Concerned, she goes to her mother for advice. Eliza, her parents, her sister Jo, and Joe's boyfriend all pile into a station wagon and go to the city to confront Lewis with the letter. On the way, the five explore the relations with each other and meet many interesting people. Boy, ain't that the truth. So there you go. The Day Trippers.
I love this film.
Same. Likewise.
It's right up awesome. Here. I don't know if you guys can see, but it's like
you have
no criterion.
A day trip. Amazing. Greg Mottola, later known for Superbad, Adventureland, Confess Felch, Jesus. Fletch. Yes, Felch. Just walk right past that one. KT, you got any trivia for us on The Day Trippers?
The directorial debut of Greg Mottola, filmed in 17 days on a $50,000 budget, which is like four El Mariachis, just to put that in perspective.
That's how I measure budgets, yeah.
This film was rejected by Sundance. Sundance.
Boo.
It has Parker Posey. It's the 90s.
But
it's
then
the
it
law.
Played at Slam Dance, right? Which is kind of like the little cousin of Sundance. Yes.
They're like, sorry, Greg, this trip is now over. I'm out. You know?
Give a night trip.
So, Marta, very different movies. Day Trippers versus Harakiri. What are you thinking?
You know, this is hard because you picked my favorite samurai movie and one of my favorite comfort watches. So, let's do Harakiri.
All right. There we go.
That was really hard, though. I will say.
Comfort watches also, like, don't always make for the best episode. I mean, you know, like, necessarily for the best. I was like,
yeah, sometimes it's like, oh, that's great.
That's why I actually, that was actually my deciding factor was like, there's probably more to talk about with Harakiri than Day Trippers.
Yeah.
That might be a, you're on for the ninth time with us or something. And like, oh yeah, we're just hanging out at this point.
Okay.
Not that I'm vision boarding or anything. But here we go. Next up, by the way, another one, wild confluence of events, right? We have this is crazy. Tampopo, 1985. So Tampopo, of course, known for many things, but ramen western, the world's first ramen western. Right?
Yum.
In this humorous paean to the joys of food, a pair of truck drivers happen into a decrepit roadside shop selling ramen noodles. The widowed owner, Tampopo, begs them to help her turn her establishment into a paragon of the art of noodle soup making. Interspersed are satirical vignettes about the importance of food to different aspects of human life. Who writes this copy, and can I have that job? Because I could do a way better job than that. Thank you.
Robots.
Yeah, it's done by AI.
Love to turn my restaurant into a paragon of
I love this film. This is actually the perfect film.
That's the sentence I would keep for us, by the way. I think that one. best use of egg yolk in a serious motion picture. I think, who was it on? Was it Garfield? I think
Andrew Garfield
called us out, right? Yeah, this week. Yeah.
Who also wants the downfall of capitalism to happen?
Every one of his picks, I was like, that's great. That's great. That's also great. So,
can't believe it's great.
Katie, what do you got for
for Tampopo, which I did a What If We Don't Like It on. So if you want to really do a 3-hour deep dive on Tampopo, you can join me on my show already. Then we can do more on it as well, because this is a really, really rich film. It, in fact, is one of the few films that has 100% rating based on 56 critic reviews on Rotten Tomatoes. So it is quite good. I like watching it because the lead actress is the wife of the director, and there's a really loving way in which the camera holds her. It's worth your time.
There you go. So up next, The Exterminating Angel.
Louis Buñuel. Food.
So 1962, a formal dinner party starts out normally enough, but after the bourgeois group retire to the host's music room, they inexplicably find themselves unable to leave.
This movie sounds insane.
This movie is right up my alley. I'm gonna add it.
I saw this. This is one of my first art house films I think I ever saw. That wasn't like one of the ones we've talked about on the show. So,
Christina, if you're watching a double feature with The Discreet Charm of the Bourgeoisie, because it's the inverse situation of this film.
And I just watched that, I think, like 2 months ago, finally.
You did.
Because the poster art always can't turn me off. I like the movie a lot. I thought it was really good. And I totally see it being like the inverse of that. And Buñuel's great. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. So is the band, by the way. KT, you got anything for me?
Did any of you guys see the director of Dune, Villeneuve, did a short film about like people sitting at a table eating? Did you guys see that film?
No.
I'll send it to you later. It kind of vibes with this without the cannibalism. I haven't seen this, although I read about it when coming up with facts, and it sounds insane, and it has two of my favorite facts for tonight. They're not related, so just here they are. The first one is that Buñuel has publicly stated that he considered this film a failure, and if he had shot it later in Paris, he wanted to go more extreme. His only regret is how not extreme he went, like Verhoeven style, and I love that. That makes me full on in. And then my second fact, because this is so random, this film was banned in Russia because the idea of people not being allowed to leave a party was considered offensive and anti-government.
By the way,
that's cannibalism.
give some context to the being offensive. Bunuel, Unchen Andalu, this literally the pixie slicing up eyeballs. That's a slicing up eyeballs movie, like one of the very famous short films. Like that's the same dude, same guy, by the way.
Yeah.
Just FYI, that's crazy to me.
These
two films could not be more different, but I love them both. Marta,
okay. Am I picking? No, this music stresses me. Oh my god! Okay, let's do Tempopo. Let's do Tempopo.
Tempopo.
That was really easy. Tempopo is one of my favorite films of all time. So,
this scene does not appear in the movie, by the way.
No. Well, that's how it connects to Charlie Angel. You know, they put it's cannibals and they're putting them in the ramen.
Right, exactly. Yeah, there you go. It's a crossover nobody asked for, but you got it anyway. Okay, so coming up next, another heavy on the 60s. You're right. I wasn't thinking about that, but anyway, Cleo from
in particular.
Exactly, Cleo from 5 to 7. Agnes Varda, one of my favorites. Agnes Varda eloquently captures Paris in the 60s with this real-time portrait of a singer set adrift in the city as she awaits test results of a biopsy, a chronicle of the minutes of one woman's life. Cleo from 5 to 7 is a spirited mix of verite and melodrama, featuring a score by Michael Legrand and cameos by Jean-Luc Godard and Anna Karina. So there you go. Cleo from 5 to 7.
Nice.
Such a good film. Ugh, keep saying that, but they're all such good films.
I need to see some of these French films.
You did a Varda episode that included this, I think. If I remember.
I did. I also did an episode on Lost Highway and the movie that we're going to talk about after this one.
So there you go. There you go.
There you go.
KT, what do you got for Cleo from 5 to 7?
I didn't know that from 5 to 7 was a French colloquialism for a female having an affair, because like that would be the most convenient time. Well, that was an interesting thing.
Fair, every
from 5 to 7, what a way to have an affair.
They're like, you know.
It is ranked number 2 in BBC Culture's The 100 Greatest Films Directed by Women. Number 2. Ooh.
What's number one? Do you know?
Probably Jean Dillman.
I was going to say.
Give me a second.
It must be Jean Dillman.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Well, yeah. Number
KT
2.
KT on the spot. She did all the research like last night, by the way. I was like, hey, you want to do some
facts? I'm sorry. It must be Jean Dillman.
No, but I'm super curious now, too. So.
The Piano by Jane Campion.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I like The Piano, but...
The one that you guys mentioned, did you say Delmon?
Jean Delmon, yeah.
That's number 3.
That makes sense. So that was BFI's pick for the Sight and Sound poll. When? This year? Last year?
Years. I think it was last year.
Yeah, for number 1.
Yeah, we covered it last year. And that like episode
we
is,
did
like,
with Matthew. Yes.
Oh, I need to watch that.
It's strangely popular for a movie that's 3 hours long, and a lot of it is just a woman
peeling
doing
potatoes.
Like
potatoes.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Yeah, Matthew was going hard.
He got mad at me because 2.5 hours into it, I went to the bathroom. It was because me and him saw it in person at the Museum of the Moving Image, and I got up and went to the bathroom, and he was like, "Wow, you've missed so much." And I'm like, "She's still peeling potatoes."
Yeah.
You know, the thing is, you absolutely miss nothing. But like, I get his point. But by the way, he texted me about that too. He was like mad. I didn't tell you that, but I was like, "Wow." I was like,
"Well, you did tell me that."
And to my credit, I think I wrote back as man's gotta pee.
Yeah.
I think I saw a Letterboxd review where someone wrote that their friend went to go pee at the ending where that one really big thing happens.
Oh,
and
God.
It was the one thing that they missed.
Christina's a huge fan. So Cleo from 5 to 7 versus Perfect Days, Vim Vendors. Hirayama is content with his life as a toilet cleaner in Tokyo. Outside of his structured routine, he cherishes music on cassette tapes, books, and taking photos of trees. Through unexpected encounters, he reflects on finding beauty in the world. This one goes. I like this one a lot. This is one of my favorites of... was it last year? I guess it was last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the newest film on the list.
It is the newest film on the list, yeah. And it's Wim Wenders, which we've covered a lot. We've covered a lot of Wim Wenders.
Yes,
here.
I don't know how I didn't see it when it came out. Like, it was at the Art Cinema.
It had a weird release. Like, I feel like it took a while to see it for me.
It was it was at the Rhinebeck movie theater, like near where my brother lives, and he saw it, and I was like, oh man, you should have waited for me. Like,
it was not a perfect day.
It was my favorite film of last year.
It's
nice.
It's pretty great. KT, you got anything for us on that one?
Yeah, it's really actually a kind of unique film. Shot in only 17 days, the screenplay took only 3 weeks to be written, and it was the official submission for Japan's Best International Feature Film category at the 96th Academy Awards, making it the first time a movie not directed by a Japanese filmmaker was nominated as a Japanese entry.
That's right. That's right. I remember we talked about that on, I think, the Oscar show, right? And who, what went? I think Zone of Interest won.
Zone of interest.
All right, so Cleo from 5 to 7 or Perfect Days. Marta, what do you think?
This is the hardest one so far. Oh, now all of a sudden I miss the music. Let's do Perfect Days.
Perfect Days! Boop, 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 boop. I need a celebratory sound effect. But Perfect Days!
That was,
all right.
That was painful.
Yeah.
That was a rough one. Yeah. And
that really was.
There you go. It's locked in. It made the noise. So it's locked in now. that's how that works. Everybody knows this.
Very encouraging.
All right. So we're halfway through the first part. How are you feeling, Marta?
I'm okay. I'm okay. that's crazy. Dramatic? Three of these are in Japanese.
Yeah.
Awesome. I think I'm turning Japanese. I really think so.
I really do think so. The way that we're going here. So next up, we got Dragon Inn, 1967. China, year 1457. The Minister of Defense is executed, and his children are sent to exile by order of the tyrannical Cao. Fearful of future revenge from the young people, Cao sends cruel soldiers to murder them. But a brave group of swordsmen can change the course of the battle at the Dragon Inn.
Bum, bum, bum.
Dun, 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 dun. All right. Got anything for us on this one, KT?
Director King Hu was a talented calligrapher, and he painted the opening credits himself.
What?
Which I think is fun. Yeah.
Huh, that's cool.
And when you ask, I do have it ready. This is number 7 in Hong Kong Film Awards list of the best 100 Chinese motion pictures. And if you'd like to know the ones above that, I can tell you.
You can rattle them off real quick. Yeah, lay it on us. Why not?
Spring in a Small Town, A Better Tomorrow, Days of Being Wild, Yellow Earth, City of Sadness, and then The Long Arm of the Law.
I knew 1.5 of those.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah. Most of them are from the actual 80s and 90s, which is kind of interesting.
Oh, interesting.
That's a nice thing about being a film lover, though. There's always something new to find. Isn't that true? Yes.
There sure is. Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Coming up next, we have a little movie called The Wages of Fear.
Seeing the poster stresses me out. Me too, but man. Oh,
so Clouseau. We have done Sorcerer.
I watched this back to back with Sorcerer.
Same.
Yeah, that's too much. That's so much. Same. Stress. I
was unwell after.
Yeah, that'll shake you for days.
Don't crash.
So 1953, this happens 25 years before Sorcerer. In a rundown South American town, 4 men are paid to drive trucks loaded with nitroglycerin through the jungle to the oil field. Friendships are tested and rivalries develop as they embark upon their perilous journey. So that is
such a good, up my alley.
That does not
colonialist propaganda piece.
By the way, there is a woman in this one too. It's Vera Clouseau, his wife, who's a great. She's great. She's also in Diabolique.
I'm watching that tonight, or rewatching it, I should say.
Oh, but, I love Dana Lake. That's awesome. Nice. So, Wages of Fear. By the way, between Wages of Fear and Sorcerer, I like this one better, personally.
Really?
Yeah.
Actually, same.
But they're different. They're very different.
Yeah. I would say that Sorcerer is better at making you stressed out and unwell.
It's like that in Uncut Gems, man.
Well, the friends have never been the best at stressing everybody else out. They're like, sitting there with their cigarettes. They're like,
taking smoke breaks. Yeah.
Accidentally throwing the cigarette butt into the nitroglycerin.
Right. KT, what do you have for Wages of Fear?
Would you be surprised to find that it did very well in Europe? It won the Golden Bear at the Berlin Film Festival and the Golden Palm at Cannes, making it the first film to ever win both of those. But the U.S. censor cut 50 minutes out of this film for its original release due to unfavorable portrayal of American oil companies.
Yeah.
Oh no!
Yeah, this one goes.
Can you re-edit it to make it seem like in the end they deliver the nitroglycerin and everything?
Right. Yeah. The oil companies are the hero in my cut. Yeah.
Not unionized. Yes.
50 minutes. You can't is a lot.
You can't have the story. Yeah. Without that, in my opinion, I mean,
then it's sorcery.
What are you even doing? Yeah, then it's sorcery. Exactly. I better invent the backstory for these guys, I guess. I don't know what we're gonna do with the rest of this time we gotta fill. How'd that work out? Anyway, so those are insane choices: Dragon Inn versus Wages of Fear. Yeah. Marta, what are we doing?
Okay, because you guys covered sorcerer, let's do Dragon Inn.
Dragon Inn! All right!
So it's something totally different from what you've done. Oh!
There you go. There you go.
New
choice.
Wisely.
It's going to say, putting a finger on the scale. Dragon Inn. There it is. I'm excited to cover that one. That would be good. We should do Wages of Fear at some point. I can't believe we haven't. But anyway, whatever.
You should.
Coming up next.
We've done Sorcerer. We've done The Exorcist, which apparently not a sequel to The Exorcist.
Not a sequel to The Exorcist, as it turns out. No. A lot of people were very surprised by that. So next up, World on a Wire.
Yay! Love this poster.
Yeah, Peter Fassbender.
That's one of your favorites.
It's pretty
great. Cybernetics engineer Fred Stiller uncovers a massive corporate conspiracy involving a virtual reality computer project. That doesn't even come close to what this film does, by the way. Yeah, not to put my finger on the scale or anything, but there's like half dozen sci-fi classics that everyone thinks of. You know, it all started here. Matrix, Total Recall, Existence, mm-hmm. Blade Runner, Avatar, Inception. And then it also does like a 3 Days of the Condor, Parallax View, Conversation thing. Anyway, I'm a fan, if you can't tell.
Me too. I just rewatched it recently. I don't know how long ago, but yeah.
We've covered one Fassbender movie, and it's Mother Custer's, which is a most bizarre choice ever, but that's what Megan mm-hmm. wanted to do.
So, I mean, this one's long. This one's y'all gotta commit.
Yeah,
it is. It's one of the reasons. It's one of the reasons why it took me so long to do Until the End of the World with the crew, because I was like, all right, I'm just gonna do it. If you guys want to, cool. I'll just be here talking to the camera myself.
Oh man,
I can't believe you haven't seen Until the End of the World, which is not on here because we've already done it. But anyway, KT, you got anything for us on World on a Wire? It's pretty. Might be one of the most obscure ones on here now.
It is incredibly obscure. And before I weigh in on this particular node of the bracket, I want to voice my anger at the system for putting a dystopian Philip K. Dick against Satoshi Kon, because obviously I have big feels, but also I will give you unbiased facts, but also fine.
There's some cruel choices in this bracket. And, all of it them. Is not by my hand.
Feel like cuts deep. Anyway, World on a Wire, which is not to be confused with Man on a Wire.
Man on a Wire is a very different movie, which I fell asleep to 3 times before watching all the time through, but I love it. But it's just so like, I don't know, it's like very soothing to me somehow. Which is weird when you think about what it is.
That's me and Tenet.
Was a bracket. She had so many kids that she could bracket it.
There you go. Good.
Okay.
It's good.
So, this film is kind of weird because it actually premiered on West German television as a 2-part miniseries in the 70s. Was not seen again until sometime in 2000 when a digital version became available on the internet, being passed around by Fassbender fans through file sharing communities.
Awesome.
Such a nerdy sentence. And then the Fassbender Foundation restored it and made it premiere at the Berlin International Film Festival in 2010. So this one's pretty obscure and it almost disappeared.
The Criterion restoration is great. Highly suggest buying a copy.
Nice.
Absolutely. I don't know why I haven't, now that I think about it.
Well, today's the sale.
How much longer? How much longer are we going? Anyway, speed this up. I got stuff to buy. So there you go. World on a Wire. And next up, we have Millennium Actress 2001. This is one of the more recent ones, actually. As mentioned by KT over there, Satoshi Kon, documentary filmmaker Genya Tachibana has tracked down the legendary actress Chiyoko Fujiwara, who mysteriously vanished at the height of her career. When he presents her with a key she had lost and thought was gone forever, the filmmaker could not have imagined that it would not only unlock the long-held secrets of Chiyoko's life, but also his own. So there you go.
Another amazing film.
That's one. KT's like, knock someone over getting to scale to put her finger on for that one. So
the only animated one in the bracket. Let us also note that.
It's true.
Oh.
It's true.
Based on the real life of Setsuko Ohara, the Japanese actress, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she worked with Ozu.
Yeah. If I were to really try and like put my finger on the scale, I would tell you that Kurosawa's Throne of Blood is a big influence to the visuals of this film. Big influence. Yeah, Conan. Yeah, think about that.
I will.
And then also, they don't use any CGI in this film whatsoever. They actually do a really cool aging process with the film to try and make it look like it is older than it is. It's a really very loving way to approach animation in 2001.
Hell yeah.
This is the same year Spirited Away came out, is it? Or did that come out in 2003?
I believe so, because I took too much of a time.
That means that's a banger year for some animation in that case.
Mm. Yes, yeah, Spirited Away is 2001.
Yeah. Stuffy animated all over the place that year. Marta, my friend.
Oh, man.
This is a tough one.
This is a really, really tough one. I love both of these movies.
Maybe the music will help.
Oh, God. It makes me hurry. It speeds me up. You know what? World on a Wire.
World on a Wire. Okay.
Oh, there we go. It's okay. Oh, sorry.
You got
that hurt me too.
Satoshi Kon once more gets the shaft, unfortunately. But one of these days we'll do it. I don't know. Perfect Blue too. We have that.
We're doing Akira this coming December, so I've won the battle.
That's right. Okay. So there you go. Okay. Cool. Wow. All right. So this is the last of the beginning is what we're at. So speaking of Kurosawa, Akira Kurosawa, you hear this young up and comer? You hear this guy? this is not a samurai movie by Akira Kurosawa. Akira is from 1952. Kanji Watanabe is a middle-aged man who has worked in the same monotonous bureaucratic position for decades. Learning he has cancer, he starts to look for the meaning of his life.
Beautiful film.
It's relatable.
Pretty incredible. If y'all remember when they did Bill Nighy remake of it, I was talking about, I think we actually clipped it for something. I was going off on a rant about it. I don't even know if we were talking about a Kurosawa movie at the time, but I was definitely had thoughts about it.
We did clip it.
How is it?
Good. It's not as good as Akira.
It's not convincing.
I mean, it was supposed to be like his like career. Oh, this is his like crowning achievement. And I'm like, yeah, it was good.
We talked about it, and I said, and I said, I ran it under the cold tap.
Right, exactly, because we had done Shaun of the Dead recently before that. How many jokes about Back to the Future? Oh, we have comments about Back to the Future. Has Marta gotten? How many jokes about Back to the Future, Marta?
That's why I made the handle what it is.
Yeah.
When people get it, it's always nice.
I think Josh thought that was your like actual last name.
Some people do, and sometimes I feel like I should play along because that would be excellent.
Look, I mean, makes sense. I always like people deserve to be called by whatever they want to be called by, and doubly so in this world where people are just full of super creeps.
Call me by your name, Tony. Internet.
Exactly, call me by.
unless you want to be called Blade, because there's only one Blade.
Good. That's solid. That's solid. Yeah, people are giving all kinds of opinions in the comments. I don't know if you're looking at that for us, but
oh no.
Yeah. Apparently the comments are they disagree with you, so
let's see. Yeah. So Akira, KT, do you have anything for me on that?
Oops. It's the oldest film on the list in 1952. I really like this because it is inspired by Leo Tolstoy's novella, The Death of Ivan Ilyich, which is a short, I really like that. I mean, I majored in Russian literature, so this is going to be something I'm going to lean towards. Obviously, they changed it to be the literal translation to live, but there was a period of time when the title of this film was Watanabe Kanje no Shogai, which is the life of Kanje Watanabe. But Kurosawa said that that sounded really pretentious, and so they changed it. I love that he was like, oh, that's pretentious.
Yeah. Akira Kurosawa. That sounds pretentious. Great. No notes.
Then listen.
Yeah, I say that as a huge fan. So there you go. Akira, that is one of the ones here. And coming up next, we have Peter Bogdanovich. This is a much lesser known movie. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. In fact, is it his first?
Yes, it is.
Technically, he did do a film for Corman before, but under a pseudonym.
Who didn't?
Yeah. Oh,
there you go.
I think I did a film for Roger Corman. I don't even remember.
I kind of sort of know Tatum O'Neill, so I really want her to do Paper Moon with us.
That would be obviously amazing. We're talking about, of course, 1968's Targets. An aging horror movie icon's fate intersects with that of a seemingly ordinary young man on a psychotic shooting spree around Los Angeles. True facts stated. I bought the...
I did not know that Bogdanovich was born in Kingston, like next to, like the town next to...
Kingston,
like,
New York.
Yeah.
Nice.
Literally like the county seat where I live.
So that's Targets. I will fully confess, I never heard of it until like 2 years ago. And then I was like, wow, that sounds amazing. Like, that sounds like it'd be ripped from the headlines. This also features Boris Karloff.
Yep.
He's the horror movie icon question. A very interesting role for him. Reference somewhere else. Yeah, okay, am I doing all your factoids, KT? I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I'm just agreeing with you. Yeah. I do have a Boris Karloff factoid, but I'm hyping you up. I'm your Ed McMahon.
Yeah, exactly. I appreciate that. Yes, sir. You are correct, sir. What a job. That was a job. That was somebody's job. Can you believe it? Amazing. Fantastic. Nice work if you can get it. So, Kiru versus Targets. Very strange pairing of awesome movies. Could not be more different if you tried.
Oh, boy.
Marta, lay it on us. What are we doing?
Well, now I'm nervous because I feel like I'm disappointing everybody with my picks so far.
It doesn't matter what we think. It doesn't matter.
Oh, no.
Let's do... My heart says Ikru, but I feel like I should pick Targets. Let's do Ikru.
Ikru! All right.
And that's because I just covered Targets on my
podcast. Did just do Targets. I think I came up with this list before you did that one, but I'm still stoked to... Stoked that you were doing it. I just like to hear that movie be covered.
It's a good
I have that great new Blu-ray of it that the Criterion put out. So I feel good about that.
I bought my used copy right before they put out the restoration on Criterion, like literally a week before. So I was like, oh, okay. Well,
Isn't that just the way? Next up, Frances Ha.
Yay!
Noah Baumbach. 2012, an aspiring dancer moves to New York City and becomes caught up in a whirlwind of flighty fair weather friends, diminishing fortunes, and career setbacks. Featuring, of course, the icon Greta Gerwig.
Literally one of my favorite fucking movies in the world.
Like, same.
Watching it like blew my mind last year. When did we both watch it around the same time?
We did Kicking and Screaming with Chris Williams, who does our art. Yeah. And that was a companion piece, if you will.
Nice.
KT, you have anything to add for Frances Ha?
It's Justine Lupe's debut film, and it was shot as low-key and covertly as possible in New York City under the title Untitled Digital Workshop.
who can forget? What a
Which is just a code for, like, we didn't pull a permit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. We literally went up to the Vassar campus in Poughkeepsie, and they shot the whole sequence there. And I'm like, I was watching it. I was like, yeah, there's Vassar. Like,
there it is. Okay, speaking of there it is, Last Picture Show. Another Peter Bogdanovich.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on, where is it? There it is. Okay, Last Picture Show, 1971. High school seniors and best friends Sonny and Dwayne live in a dying Texas town. The handsome Dwayne is dating a local beauty, while Sonny is having an affair with the coach's wife. As graduation nears, I want to be a local beauty. As graduation nears and both boys contemplate their futures, Dwayne eyes the army and Sonny takes over a local business. Each struggles to figure out if he can escape this dead-end town and build a better life somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Last Picture Show, which somehow we've never done on this show. That blows my mind.
I'm surprised. But, the prequel Jeff to the Bridges. Rocky Horror Picture Show, by the way.
People don't know this. Jeff Bridges, Sybil Shepherd in this. Ellen Burstyn. Jesus Christ.
I like the idea that the Last Picture Show is a prequel to anything, because it's like, you guys promised it was the last one.
I thought it was the last one. What are we doing here? What's happening?
One more picture show, the sequel.
One more. KT, you got anything for us trivia-wise for Last Picture Show?
Well, when we did our episode of the network, we talked about how if Ned Beatty had won for his performance at 2 minutes, he would have had the shortest ever Best Supporting Actor for the least amount. Well, he would have unthroned Ben Johnson for his performance in this. Beatty didn't win, but Johnson did win.
Sam the Lion.
Only 9 minutes, 54 seconds, or 7.84% of the film.
Also in Sugarland Express, Wild Bunch, a whole bunch of stuff. He's kind of like, for such a star-studded cast, which is crazy because like this is 71, right? You know, I think it's I don't know about the Taxi Driver, it's like a little bit later. I think it's one of Sybil Shepherd's first movies. It's right before Heartbreak Kid.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's incredible. Wow, what a star-studded year that was. Jesus H. Christ.
Damn, all right, Peter Bogdanovich had an older brother that died because they dropped a pot of soup on him by accident, and then they didn't tell him about his brother till he was older.
Whoa.
That's crazy. Wow.
That's some like 1886,
right? Like, how is that?
Wow.
Like, it was in, like,
how old is he?
In the 1930s.
That's jacked up, man.
Jesus.
Yeah.
All right. So also jacked up is choosing the Last Picture Show in Francis Ha, which is what we're doing right now, Marta. What are you thinking?
I love the Last Picture Show, but let's do Francis Ha.
Francis Ha advances. All right. I'll do this one.
So it sounds
like it's an era of finality with that somehow.
It really was.
Okay, so we have now completed the first bracket, and things are going to get even more brutal as time goes on.
Oh, I should have thought this through.
I'm not even in the hot seat, but I'm going to go and take a drink because this is stressful AF.
So it is very stressful.
And for the rest of us, we're like,
it's almost like driving with nitroglycerin in the-
over a rickety road. Yeah, yeah. It's crazy how that works.
11-11, y'all make a wish.
Ma'am Conan, you could have picked some bad films, you know?
Picked a few just non-bangers.
This is Dead Boys 1.
Yeah, come on. Yeah.
Exactly. Just some cannon fodder, if you will, right?
Yes.
So, wow. This is not Saw 5. This is Lost Highway versus Harakiri.
Yeah, come on.
Wow. This is a jacked up game. I'm sorry, but not sorry.
I'm sorry.
Hey, you're sorry you agreed to it, right?
I'm sorry for a lot of things right now. can I swear on this one?
Yes.
Let's do. Lost Highway.
Lost Highway. Oh,
you've got mail.
Changing the noise because I don't like that association. Thank you. Unless they're a sponsor. Is AOL still around? Dude, sure. What if we were sponsored by AOL? How hilarious would that be? You got a CD-ROM in your mail lately? I guess open it up.
America Online, giving you the primary internet access you've been looking for since 1990.
Making landfill waste for over 40 years now.
Look in your mailbox, you'll find a compact disc.
Makes a this good is poster.
Tempopo versus Perfect Days.
This
also
is
also terrible. Okay, is it really? Okay. Do you even need the music?
I'll wait for the music. There we go. There we go. Okay. Tempopo.
Tempopo. Yeah, all right.
That was easy.
Although, holy shit, Tempopo versus Lost Highway. We'll get there when we get
there. You'll get there. Cross that bridge when you come to it. Cross that bridge with the dynamite when you come to it.
The new one sounds like that they're making a new season of Law and Order, but it's in the castle.
Fantastic. Oh, man. Dragon Inn versus World on a Wire. Let's say, you know, we've been podcasting too long and the light goes out.
Is that a thing?
Oh. Hey, when you got a rechargeable battery, it's a thing.
Oh, so. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Sorry.
Can I crowdsource for this one? Does anyone
yes.
have a preference?
I've been wanting to do World on a Wire on this show for literally years.
Okay, World on a Wire then.
I feel like I put the thumb on the scale a little bit too much there, but I'm not mad about it.
But who knows?
I also wanted
happen.
The one that unthroned mine to win. If you're gonna beat me, you better win.
You better go all the way. This is like some Rocky and Apollo Creed kind of like mentality. Yes. Yeah, I like
but
it.
As a fencer, we use brackets like this all the time, so I'm really feeling quite like, ah.
Yeah, we're getting somewhere, you know? It's like, ugh.
I will say, though, people should just watch Dragon Inn. It's a really good film.
Yeah.
This show
Dragon Inn. Want a nice stay? Stay somewhere else. Akira versus Francis Ha. What a wow. Wow, really? Okay, sure.
No pressure, but I'm a big Greta Gerwig and Noah Baumbach fan.
Okay, me right. too. this feels really blasphemous, but whatever. Let's do Francis Ha.
Francis Ha! All right.
That's, I can't believe I just did that. That's okay.
Yeah, whatever. Kurosawa, all that great filmmaking.
Yeah. Who?
Yeah, exactly.
What have you done lately? Oh, he's dead. Oh, my bad.
I see what you. I see what you did there. You know, because he's blind. Yeah.
This one's so Absolutely. Stressful. Oh my god.
Lost Highway. David Lynch. You heard of him? Young up and comer. And Tampopo. The world's That's only ramen story. Western.
The world's only ramen. It's Ramen Friday.
We've done a lot of David Lynch on. We've done a lot of David Lynch on this show. We have not done
a Tempopo episode, but all voicing, like doing David Lynch.
We all are David Lynch.
Yeah, all are David Lynch.
Me, I'm still the guy from B-52s.
Except for KT, who is actually Fred Schneider.
I want to hear
if
the.
You see
hear
this side on the side.
Yeah, I want to hear David Lynch's Rock Lobster. You see a faded sign on the side of the road. It says
15 miles to the Love Shack, baby.
There you go.
Rock. But it wasn't a rock. It was a rock lobster.
All right. Enough nonsense. Last Highway versus Tempopo. What do we got?
This is insane.
It's an impossible choice.
Oh, my God.
You must.
These will both be great episodes. I think they all are.
Lost Highway. I always feel like I made the wrong decision after hearing that noise.
Dick Wolf.
Go for
it. Well, Forrest is busting balls about the other one sounding like you've got mail. So
that's fair.
Which it kind of does. Autistic werewolf.
It does, actually. I will say both of those films are 5 stars for me.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I mean, so but they're so different, and they would be very different conversations too.
I think Lost Highway would make a better episode.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
we all be talking like David Lynch during the entire movie,
the entire episode.
That was going to make.
I'm French Schneider now.
Oh
Whoops.
My god, that would make a really good. That would make a really good like bit for TikTok. Like, who has the best, the best like David Lynch impression?
It's me, hands down.
I'll go learn.
Just because you do it the most doesn't mean you have the best one. Let's be clear.
I'll go to impression school.
I was gonna say it was Forrest until he said that. Now he's dead last.
I'm cocky tonight. I'm not the one who's in the hot seat. That's why.
Exactly. Uh-huh. You're just hanging out.
That's all you say.
Although I do love that between Lost Highway and Tampopo, the one that has Citophilia in it is not Lost Highway.
Well done. Well bold. Thanks. I like that. Okay, this one's nuts too. World on a Wire versus Frances Ha.
Oh boy.
Oh my god.
Nobody say anything. Everybody's got skin in this game.
World on a Wire.
World on a Wire! Yeah. Woo! I know how much you love Frances Ha too.
Again.
Sorry, Frances. You're taking the next plane back to New York.
Why don't you try being on a wire next time?
Looks like we're going dystopian, whether you like it or not.
Exactly. Pick your flavor.
Highway on a wire.
Last highway on a wire. Exactly. Where are these mashups? So here we go. The movie that we're going to cover with you next month, Marta, is going to be decided in this round.
Wait, can I have a second?
You can. Yes. Take what you
no
need.
No pressure.
If you look under your chair, I've put nitroglycerin.
Wrong answers only.
Forrest is actually at your house filming you while you give your answer at the same time.
Yes.
And I'm like underneath your chair, like.
Okay. She's the nitroglycerin.
I am the nitroglycerin.
Okay. All right. I have nothing to say to that. All right. So Lost Highway versus World on a Wire. Marta, what are we doing?
World on a Wire.
World on a Wire! Wow.
I'm so nervous for this because I feel like it's going to force everybody to watch something that's, 4 hours long?
I made them watch Until the End of the World. It's fine. Matthew made us watch John Dielman.
Treat it like a definite show and do it in 4 episodes, you know? Yeah. Like,
I pushed everyone to watch Lawrence of Arabia. And then didn't do it in one sitting. I did it in 2.5 sittings.
Yeah,
you should. I have the VHSs of that somewhere.
I gotta say, didn't see it coming, but I'm here for it.
Neither did I. Yeah. Honestly.
Yeah, I would have guessed while, Lost Highway.
I thought it was going to be Lost Highway or Tempo, but then those two were.
If I was a betting man, if I was going to the sports betting sites that are probably linked to this site I got the brackets on, I probably would have bet it on those two. So, yeah, crazy.
World on a wire.
I don't know what to say. I really don't.
You guys, you're gonna love it. It influenced so much stuff. It's a cool movie. It's
if it's 4 hours long, I should hope so.
Yeah. Also, a little side note, since we're doing Abigail, a certain actress from the show liked my tweet on Twitter today. Catherine Newton.
Nice.
I love her. She's so awesome.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Try to get her on the podcast. Bye next week.
Yeah,
come on the show. Yeah, exactly. What are you doing next week, Catherine? Yeah.
Bring some fucking onions, Catherine.
Now you're making demands of her? 5 seconds?
It's a reference in the movie, but yeah.
Friendship escalated quickly. Marta, I'm so glad you participated in this absurd exercise for your first participation with this group. You're a sport and you are dignified for doing so. So thank you for doing it. And I look forward to discussing World on a Wire with you. I think it's going to be a lovely episode.
Me too. It's gonna be my second time this year watching it. That's a lot of wires.
It's a lot of wires in there.
But no wire hangers, so that's good.
Yeah, well, sure. That's that's your metric. Marta, what do you got coming up?
The wire.
In life?
Well, sure, but I mean, I was talking about promo-wise, but...
Promo-wise, next week is my season finale of McFly's Movie House episode 30, and then after that, I am pivoting and working on some writing, because I haven't done any freelancing in a while, and essays need to be written.
You're a lovely writer, and I look forward to reading that.
Thanks.
There was a great, ostensibly about police story, Jackie Chan episode this last week that was very entertaining. I enjoyed it
starts the 30-minute mark.
About the 30-minute mark, yeah. Look at this show, man. Sometimes we're lucky if we get to the main topic at like 40. It's fine. You've heard of the show.
Well, thank you for having me on. This was so much fun. It was more stressful, but
incredibly stressful.
The next episode less stressful.
That's true.
I can't call it the wages of fear because nobody's getting paid, but
you know. Other than that, yeah, exactly. We definitely drove across some bridges with the dynamite, so there you go.
Did we ever?
I was not expecting to have multiple musical cues. Like, I don't know.
Neither did I. Just terrified the first time.
Someone's phone was going off if the first time.
That's what I thought.
Turn that phone off.
Me too.
Well, my phone's always on silent.
Half the fun for this kind of thing is like surprising y'all. So I did that last night. I had an epiphany and I remembered I had a soundboard app. So there you go. Yeah. We can use it again. We know it works. Because I was like, is this going to work? I have no idea. I didn't even know if, like I don't know, like if I get a flat Earth ad was going to pop up or something on here. I'm nebulous at best. Anyway, this is for the after party, isn't it? Marta, thank you so much.
Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, of course. Do we know when we're recording? I think you sent me the thing.
I did. Oh, yeah. I guess I could have mentioned that, huh?
If you like this, you want to watch the next episode.
Of all the windows I have open, that information is not one of the things I have. And I have so many windows open.
November 19th.
Wow, after our Adam McKay episode.
Oh, yeah, we're having Adam McKay on. That's right. Yes.
You're welcome.
Forgot about that. How did I forget about that? But anyway, I did. Adam McKay on the 15th, and we're going to be doing World on a Wire with Marta on episode 249.
Whoa.
All right.
It would have been crazy if that was the Blade Runner 2049 episode.
Oh, yeah. That would have been good.
Should have been on the bracket.
I know. Didn't think about it. All right, I think that's it, right?
That would have been the sore thumb on the bracket. That was like,
we talked about needing some cannon fodder, right? So there you go. I mean, I love Denise.
Can you imagine if I picked it?
Oh no, a replicant!
I'm trying to think. Yeah, what would be? Yeah, I can't. I spent so much time thinking of the good brackets. I can't think of any cannon fodder right now. But
that was the hardest bracket I've ever done in my life.
I appreciate that you did it. And it's maybe the most labor intensive way to pick a movie, but we did. So.
How long was that? Oh, we did it. That was an hour.
You gotta market that for like couples that are like arguing or something and they're trying to pick a movie. Like, well,
I just show up with like a bunch of monitors. KT like pops in on like an iPad or something. Yeah, it's great.
Like Clippy.
Clippy.
It looks like you're trying to pick a movie.
It looks like you're having trouble picking a movie. Would you like some help?
Would you like some trivia that won't be any deal related to the plot?
Or be useful to making a decision?
Like an NPC?
You gotta do it like they do when they put those recipes up online, where it's like, the first time I saw this movie, I was blah, blah, blah. And you tell them a story about
like
yourself.
Yeah, a whole like novella.
Yes. Drives me nuts.
That's why I prefer my Letterboxd one-liners, like saying something in bio for my review.
Which I can't believe you did. I like that already, by the way.
My Letterboxd reviews are painfully long.
Yeah.
Ditto. I can't do that. I got
mine too.
Funny.
Yeah.
Someone reads them. Conan reads them.
I read everyone. Absolutely. I am your split brain and your audience.
Likewise.
All right. Are we still doing the show? Is this a show anymore? What are we doing?
Is it?
We can hang out. We can end it there. My voice is about to give out anyway. So thanks for coming on. We'll see you on the what day was it that we were
19th.
Yeah.
There you go.
November 19th. Episode 2.
November 19th. We'll be back. We'll watch World on a Wire before then. And,